Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Holy moments. Got a question for you this morning. I want to pause and ask you, what is the most courageous thing you've ever done? I want you to think about it. What's the most courageous thing you've ever done? Maybe some of you, I'll just throw those out. Has anyone ever saved anyone who was drowning? Anyone ever saved anyone? Some of you have. That's a courageous thing, to jump into a pool, to jump into a lake, someone who's drowning. Those of you who are watching online, I want you to type in the chat session, what's the most courageous thing you've done? Has anyone saved anyone from a burning building? There was a fire and you went into the building, you saved them. Anyone do that? No takers on that? Maybe, you know, those are kind of things that you think of, wow. That is something that is really courageous. But sometimes one of the most courageous things you can do is to have a conversation, a difficult conversation with a close friend or a loved one who's maybe struggling with an addiction or a destructive behavior that is destroying their life and the lives of those around them. Maybe you've had that moment of courage in your life. For others of you, maybe it's just been sharing your testimony. God's opened a door for you to share what he has done in your life. And how many have ever had a witnessing opportunity and you know you need to say something, but you just feel like your heart is beating a mile a minute, huh? How many have been there, done that? Feel like it's coming out of your chest? Yeah. And for you to speak out is maybe one of the most courageous things you've done. Today, we are going to talk about a moment of courage as we continue our Christmas series, Holy Moments. In your notes this morning, you never know how God might use a moment of courage to change someone's life. You don't know how God might use a moment of courage to change someone's life. So many times, these courageous moments, when you think of one of the most courageous things you've ever done, many times it results in impacting someone else's life. Not all the time, but many times that moment can change the trajectory of their life. It can set them on a right path, take them off a wrong path, or maybe it saves their lives, like the example of the burning building or drowning person. And the thing is, you don't know when you step out in courage, and I believe God wants his people to be people of courage. And I think one of the greatest things that we suffer in the church is a spirit of hesitation. We hesitate. God moves on our hearts to do something, but instead of responding with surrender and obedience, we let fear get us, and we need to be people of courage. I want you to say this morning, I'm courageous. Look at your neighbor. Don't poke him in the chest, but just say, you're courageous. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you say, God, I want you to use me to love the world through you. I want you to love the world through me. I can guarantee the Holy Spirit is going to nudge you. He's going to prompt you. He's going to give you moments of opportunity. And in those moments, you have three choices. One of three choices. One, you can respond boldly. Yes, God, here I am. I'll do it. The other one is you can hesitate, or you can do absolutely nothing. I almost called our message today, To Hell with Hesitation. But a moment of courage just fit the Holy Moment series better. So we're calling it a moment of courage, all right? In this Christmas season, we're looking at four different moments in the birth of our Savior. So far, we've looked at Joseph, a moment of obedience. Last week was Mary and a moment of surrender. And this week, we're going to look at the shepherds, Luke chapter 2. Turn there if you like. And we're going to look at a moment of courage that the shepherds had. And picking up in verse 8, it says, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. So what is this good news that the angel has? He tells us in verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, that word Christ is the Greek term for Messiah. Messiah is a Hebrew word. And to the Jews, the Messiah was their coming king who was going to save them. And so when the angel says the Christ has been born, he's saying the Messiah has come. We can't lose that. A lot of times we don't realize that the Christ means Messiah. So their Savior, their King, who is going to make them a world empire, he was coming. Now, God has not spoken for 400 years. He hasn't spoken. We learned this last week. He hadn't spoken since the Italian prophet Malachi. Okay, no, I'm kidding, all right? He's Hebrew. He's Malachi. We're just having a little bit of fun. But the prophet Malachi, and he shares that there is going to come someone who's going to restore the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the children back to the fathers. It was John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. And so God hasn't spoken. He appears, and realize last week he just spoke to Mary, to one person. Now he's going to speak to a group of shepherds. We don't know how many there are, but he says, the Christ has been born in the city of David, which is a little town of Bethlehem. Yes, you know your Bible geography. Very good. Israel was looking for the Messiah. They were under the oppression of the Roman Empire, and they were looking for the Messiah to come and save them. What they didn't realize is that Messiah would come not just once, but he would come twice. The first time that Jesus came, he didn't come to be the king of the world. He came to be the king of our hearts. He needs to set up a spiritual kingdom before he set up a physical kingdom. And the Jews were looking for this physical kingdom, the Messiah king to come to do away with the Romans. But that's not what Jesus came to do away with in his first coming. In his first advent, he came to do away with sin. He saved the entire world from sin by dying on the cross. That's the first coming. He will come again a second time, and that time he is going to bring world peace. That time Jesus is going to set up a physical kingdom and rule and reign over the entire world. Now, I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to the coming of Jesus. How many are looking forward to his coming? And more I see the world and the condition it's in and the direction we're headed, I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But until then, the church of Jesus needs to be the body of Jesus, and we need to step out in moments of courage. Jesus doesn't want us to go and to hide in our churches, in our four walls, where nobody can see us, where we're not saying anything. We're safe with Jesus. Hallelujah. Here we are. No. He wants us to go out into the world, into the highways and byways, and be people that share the love and the light of God. That takes courage. And my prayer for us as a church is that we will be people of courage, because you never know what God might do, how he might change someone's life with just one moment of courage. Now, when God is announcing, I'm sending my Messiah, he doesn't share that with the elites. He doesn't share that with the powerfuls. He doesn't share that with kings. Now, some of you are saying, hey, he shared it with the wise men. But do you realize the wise men were not at the manger? They weren't. The wise men came possibly 2 years later, because when you read the Bible, it says they were in the house and the baby was sitting on Mary's lap. They were in a house, not in a stable, not in a barn. The wise men came years later. They think 2 years, because when they showed up in Jerusalem, Herod had said, well, when did you see the star? And they said, 2 years ago. And so it's very possible that the baby Jesus was two, because Herod killed all the children in Bethlehem 2 years and under. So it could have been 2 years. And when God says, I want there to be a special commemoration in the stable, in the manger where the baby is laying, he speaks to the shepherds. Now, in your notes this morning, I want you to realize that shepherds during this time were very despised. There's kind of two schools of thought here about these shepherds. Some people think these shepherds were priest shepherds. Some Bible scholars say they were priest shepherds, that they were taking care of the lambs, the sheep that would be used for the Passover. And so they had to be pure and righteous. These lambs were going to give their lives during the Passover. And it would be really cool if that's true because, you know, when they're watching, these lambs are going to be sacrificed. So death passes over. The Lamb of God, Jesus, comes into the world. Someday he's going to die so that death passes over us and we can have eternal life with God. We don't know if that's true. Most likely they were just ordinary shepherds. And shepherds in New Testament times, they were despised. In the Old Testament times, when Abraham was a shepherd, when David was a shepherd, Israel did not despise shepherds, but through the Greek and Roman influence, shepherds were looked down on. We give you four characteristics of shepherds in your notes. First of all, they were considered untrustworthy. Shepherds were untrustworthy. They did not allow a shepherd to testify in court. Even if they witnessed a crime, if they saw it happen, shepherds were considered to be liars, dishonest, and so they wouldn't trust them. Their testimony didn't hold any weight. The second thing about shepherds is that they rarely sold property because it was suspected of being stolen. If a shepherd is selling something, it's probably hot. You don't want to buy it. People didn't want to buy their milk, didn't want to buy their wool, didn't want to buy other livestock from them, didn't want to buy property because they were seen as being dishonest. The third thing about shepherds is they were ceremonially unclean. As a result, they were unworthy of coming into the temple and the temple grounds. And so if you had a heart for a shepherd and you invited them to church, they wouldn't be allowed in the front doors because they were unclean. And then the last thing about shepherds is that they were social outcasts. They were part of the bottom rung of society. They were in the same class of people as tax collectors, which tax collectors were really looked down upon because they were seen as traitors to the Jewish nation as they're collecting taxes from the Romans. So they were looked down upon. They were in the same class as tax collectors, prostitutes, and also dung sweepers. Okay, a dung sweeper. Realize there's livestock in those days. And what do livestock do? Have you ever been to a parade where there's horses? And there's dung sweepers in the parade. They go behind and they sweep it up. So that was a job back then. Not a very high job that would be given to the elite and the powerful. And shepherds are in this lowest social class of society. And some parents would even teach their children, if you see a shepherd walking, walk on the other side of the road. You don't want them to touch you because you'll become unclean. And here we see in Scripture that when God sends the heavenly host to say, hey, my Messiah is coming, of all the people in the world that he chose to reveal that message to, he chose the uneducated, the unpolished, the uncouth shepherds, the unpopular shepherds to say, I am coming to the world to save the world. The greatest news the world had ever heard came to these lowly shepherds. I want to share with you some observations from the shepherd's encounter that we see. Number one this morning, the good news is open to all people. The good news is open to all people. By the angels appearing to the shepherds, God signified, I am not a respecter of persons. Some people think that God could never love them, that they're unworthy, that they've got a sketchy background, they've got a bad past. And I've heard people say, Craig, you don't know where I come from. Or Craig, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the life I've lived. Friends, it doesn't matter. I don't know that. You know what? God does know your past. He knows your background, and it doesn't matter to God. Because appearing to the shepherds shows us that he is interested in all people, regardless of your background, of your experience, whether how good or bad, how high or low you are on the totem pole. God loves all people. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. By the way, this was written by the Apostle Paul, who murdered Christians. God saved him. He says, Paul, you're not too far outside of the grace of God. Paul wrote this to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 3 through 6. He said, God our Savior, who desires, what's the word? All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. That's why our mission is to help all people find and follow Jesus. That's our mission. All people. No one is outside of the grace of God. No one is too far removed from God's love. You realize that God loves you? I want you to say, God loves me. Those online, type in the chat section, God loves me. God loves each and every one of us. You ever feel like you're unloved? You don't have to feel unloved because God loves you. If anyone repents of their sin and puts their trust in Christ, committing their life that he's your leader, you can be saved. He gave his life a ransom for all. That means drug addicts, drug dealers, prostitutes, criminals, alcoholics, it doesn't matter. It means gang members, bullies, Hell's Angels, bikers. It means that God loves Satanists, atheists, and jihadist terrorists. All people can be saved. No one is outside. God's grace has no limitations and has no restrictions. God loves all people. And so as we're looking for moments of courage, if God lays on our heart to go speak to that grizzled oil worker who's never, ever going to come to Christ, they're too filthy, too vulgar, too dirty, too whatever. That doesn't make any difference to God. When God speaks to us about going to someone that we think maybe doesn't measure up, who's not fit for the kingdom, remember the shepherds, because all can be worthy. There's open access for everyone. All right, so that's the first point. The good news of the gospel is open to all people. Number two, we're going to read about this in verses 12 through 16. It says, this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Number two, the shepherds made haste. The shepherds made haste. There was no hesitation with them. There was no, well, let's pray about it. There was no, well, let's see if it fits with our schedules. There was no about, hey, what about the sheep? There was not, let's see if we can get our frequent flyer miles to cover this trip. No, they made haste. They did not hesitate. Friends, we as a church, one of our prayers needs to be that the Church of America, the Church of the world, that we are not consumed by a spirit of hesitation. We need to get rid of it. What do we need to be praying for in your notes? We need a spirit of urgency and anticipation. We need a spirit of urgency and anticipation. When the Holy Spirit moves on us, when he prompts us, when he nudges us to do something, we don't wait. We don't hesitate. We're like the shepherds and we make haste. We say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. We need boldness and urgency in our response. The Messiah is coming. Are you excited about that? He's already here, but he wants to come into people's lives. And do you realize that this next week, studies show, that this next week is the week most likely that someone will come to church if they get an invitation? More than Easter, more than any other time of year. This next week when we celebrate Christmas, that's the week people will most likely come to church to hear the message of grace. But you know what? For them to come next week, they need an invitation this week. Will you invite someone? We've got our invites by the door. Grab a handful on the way out. When you go to the restaurant today, give it to your server. Invite them to church. Give it to the gas station attendant. Give it to the Walmart clerk. For once, just say, I'm not going to go through the self-checkout. I want to get a real person because I want to invite them to the church. Invite your friends. Invite your coworkers. Invite people because this next week, they will probably show up more likely than any other time. If you play the lottery, which I hope you don't, you want to get the best odds possible. Friends, the best odds possible is inviting someone this week. Oh, wow. Okay. Are you? Did I put you to sleep? Okay, good. The best time, your best odds possible of inviting someone to church is this next week. So invite someone. It'll take a moment of courage, but you never know how a moment of courage can change someone's life. Because God wants all people to find and follow Jesus. And that's what the shepherds show us. Everyone has access. This morning, in your notes, some of you say, man, I'm afraid. Well, courage is not the absence of fear. Sometimes we think, I've got to have no fear, and then I'm courageous. No. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing what you're afraid of. It's moving ahead in spite of your fear. That's courage. You might be afraid. You might be hesitant. You might be a little anxious, but you don't let it stop you. Courage says, I'm moving ahead even though I'm afraid. I'm moving out of fear into faith and obedience to God. A moment of courage. And the thing is, the more you do this, the more you listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and His nudges, the easier it will get. But I can guarantee you, you will probably always have at least a little bit of anxiety. Almost always, no matter how much you do it, when God opens a door for you to invite someone, to pray for someone who's sick. I remember when I was working in a factory, and there was this one guy, I was on a like an assembly line. And what we did was we had radiators. We put plugs in them, filled them with helium, set them on another assembly line. They went into a vacuum and they would suck the air out of it. And if they detected helium, it was a bad unit. And so we've got these units coming down the line. And there was a guy behind me, two stations behind me. He was sick. And God said, I want you to go pray for PJ. Now PJ, he was anti-Christian. He made fun of us. He called me a holy roller. He knew who I was, and he didn't think much of Christians. God said, go pray for PJ. And I'm sitting there, I'm arguing with God, and finally I says, okay, I'll do it. I hesitated, all right? I was wrong. I get it. It's easy to hesitate. But I went to PJ, and I says, hey, can I pray for you, for God to heal you? And he goes, what? And I says, can I pray that God heals you? And he's going, yeah. And then I had to go back to my line. And I didn't have the time to pray there because we've got these radio units coming down the assembly line. So I go back and to my station. I'm filling them up with the helium and all this stuff. And a couple of minutes later, PJ comes up to me. And he says, what did you say to me when you came to my station? I said, I just asked if I could pray for you, that God would heal you. And he said, when you said those words, there was like this bolt of electricity that went from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. My aches and pains are gone. My cough is gone. My congestion is gone. I am healed. Yeah, that was God. And at break time, because this happened in the afternoon, right after lunch, at break time, or our afternoon break, PJ was telling everybody, I go into the bathroom, and I tell you, it's like the Red Sea part. And people kind of, it's like, it's like, wow, you know, God responds to prayer. It was so neat because PJ began to tell everybody how God healed him. You'll never know what God might do in a moment of courage. But here's the thing. I have found in most of the times when it comes to a moment of courage, I don't see the miraculous like that. I wish I did. Most of the time, I don't know of anything happening. But the thing is, God doesn't call us to be people of results. He calls us to be people of courage because the results are up to Him. Some plant, some water, but it is God who gives the increase. God's just looking for a courageous man, a courageous woman, a courageous student, a courageous office worker, a courageous teacher, a courageous oil field worker, somebody who will just say, yes, Lord, to the nudge of the Holy Spirit. We need to be people that are available. Courage moves ahead in spite of our fear. All right. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 2, verse 17. Now, when the shepherds had seen him, the baby Jesus, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. What's the third observation we glean from the shepherds? Is that they told everyone. The shepherds told everyone. They made it widely known. There are some of you here today, you would say, well, I'll do this, but I won't do that. I'll share with this person, but I won't share with that person. Friends, when you put limits and restrictions on God saying, I won't do this, you are limiting the Almighty. And that's a sin. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. But if we refuse, if we say, God, there are certain things I will not be courageous about, we're actually tying God's hands, putting him in handcuffs, in a straitjacket, so that he can't work in people's lives. The shepherds told everyone. And do you realize the kind of courage that took? Because remember, they're untrustworthy. They can't testify in court. They're like the prostitutes, the dung sweepers, the tax collectors. They're unworthy. They're unclean. And so now, is anyone going to believe them when they go and say, hey, these angels appeared to us and said the Messiah's come and we'd find him in a feeding trough and we saw him. He's in Bethlehem. I mean, they're probably laughed at. They're ridiculed. Have you guys been nipping the bottle while you've been taking care of those sheep? You've been drunk? I mean, or it's like, oh, you're in the bottom. You're like a dung sweeper. You're just trying to get elevated and you're thinking that you're so great that God appeared to you. Friends, it was a moment of courage for those shepherds to go out and widely make known the message that they had been given. But friends, when you've experienced the living Jesus in your life, and you realize God is real, you can't help but tell people. You can't help but to share what God has done in your life. Remember the shepherds the next time you want to hesitate. Friends, if they did it, you and I can do it. We can overcome our fear, and we can be people of courage. Why is it we hesitate? Because a lot of times we're insecure. We don't feel worthy enough. What if I mess up? What if I pray and nothing happens? What if I share the gospel and I mess it up and I lead him down a false path? What if they ask a question and I have no answer for it? And we allow our fear to keep us from being people of courage. God says, don't hesitate, just trust me. It says in the Word, open your mouth and I will fill it. Can you trust God that if He gives you a door, He opens a door, that He will give you the ability, the words to say? It talks about, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, He's going to bring to mind the things that He has taught you, the things you've heard in church, the things you've read in your Bible, the things you've heard on the radio or on television, those things, and you thought you didn't know them, God can pull them up from the treasury of your heart, and the Holy Spirit says, say this, do this, here's a word for this moment. But you'll never know what God can do in someone's life if you don't take a moment of courage. Last thing I want us to look at, and this is found in Luke 2:18. It says, all who heard the shepherds were astonished. Why don't we tell others? Because number four is, when is the last time you've been astonished by God? Have we lost the wonder of our salvation? When's the last time that we've been amazed by amazing grace? When's the last time you've been blown away by the grace and the mercy and the blessings of God? We just wrapped up a few weeks ago our series in Ephesians. And in Ephesians, it taught us as Christians, we have a what kind of a life? A superior life. A life that's better than any other life there is. We've been given every spiritual blessing. And when's the last time we've been astonished by all these blessings, this abundance that God has given us? But you know what we do a lot of times? We're caught up in our problems. We're caught up in our cares, our worries, our anxieties. Man, I spent too much on Christmas. How am I going to pay for this? Take stuff back, okay? Spend in your budget. God, what am I going to do about my health? What am I going to do about my kids? What am I going to do about this relationship? Or I am so busy and we're so preoccupied with our schedule that we don't make room for the Holy Spirit to nudge us for God to do something in someone's life. In your notes this morning, salvation must be on the front of your mind. Salvation must be on the front of your mind. We can be so engulfed by life's problems or life's schedule, its busyness, that salvation's on the back of our minds, and our concerns, our desires, our needs are on the front of our minds. But until salvation, God's grace, His awesomeness, what He's done for me, until that's on the front of my mind, I'm not going to be astonished, and I'm not going to be a person who can share the good news that for unto you there is a Savior who was born in the city of David, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, and He can change your life. God didn't announce the message to royalty in a palace, but to shepherds who were outcasts in fields, so that the world would know that no one's too far from God's reach, that no one is too low for God's love. He chose shepherds. Why? Because God often chooses the unlikely to do the extraordinary. God chooses the unlikely, the shepherds, to do the extraordinary. He chooses you. He chooses me. He chooses the uneducated, the unpolished, the unworthy, those who don't feel talented enough, connected enough, experienced enough. God chooses us. How about you this morning? What are you going to do when the Holy Spirit opens a door this week? I guarantee if you say, God, use me, and you begin praying that every day throughout the day, God's going to open a door. When He opens that door, are you going to hesitate? Or are you going to say, to hell with hesitation? And you know what? There's some of you this morning, you're more upset that I've used the word hell in church than the fact that there are people going to hell. And if you realize, oh, that's me, then you need to repent of a religious spirit and say, God, break my heart with the lostness of people around me. Because, friends, people are going to hell out there. If they don't have Jesus, they're going to hell. And they're not going to know unless we tell them. And we need to say, God, give me salvation in the forefront of my mind today. Make me a messenger. Give me a moment of courage. Make me bold. Change me. I don't want to be a person who's hesitating. I want the urgency and the anticipation that you can heal someone. When I just say, can I pray for you? When I invite them to church this week, who knows what God can do in their life next Sunday? Can we pack this place out next Sunday? Not so that we can say, oh, we had an attendance record. No! Pack it out with people who don't know Jesus, because it's their moment for surrender and obedience if we take a moment of courage. I'd like you to bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. I want you to be prayerful in this moment, and I'm just throwing out the question, are you willing to pray to God, say, Lord, make me bold. Make me bold. Now, don't raise your hand yet, okay? Because this is something I want you to realize. Don't say this flippantly, because this is going to cost you something. You are going to be uncomfortable at times if you pray this prayer, make me bold. You are going to need faith, faith that feels like, wow, this is a miracle that's going to have to take place. You're going to need a miracle-believing faith. You're going to see immediate miracles, and most of the time you'll see nothing at all, and the devil's going to discourage you and say, that was a waste, that you're a failure. You're going to have to deal with feelings of insecurity. Maybe people might make fun of you. They might mock you. They might say, I don't want this Christian stuff. Why are you talking to me about God? They might despise you, but if you say, I don't care, I want God to use me, I want to be a courageous person, if you're saying this morning, I'm going to pray, make me bold. Would you just raise your hand? Just put your hand up. Hands all over this building. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. And those who don't want to, that's fine. Father God, I pray right now that we will be people of courage. Change us, oh God. God, help us to be astonished with our salvation. God, give us open doors, nudge us, prompt us, show us this week. Make us bold, Father God. There are some of you here this morning, you need a different moment of courage. You're not a follower of Jesus, and you need to surrender your life to Christ. Maybe you're watching online, and God's speaking to you. And maybe for those of you, you're not a follower of Jesus, yet the reason for that is because you're afraid. You're afraid of what other people will think of you. You're afraid maybe you're going to lose your friends. Maybe you're afraid that you're going to lose out on all the fun. You're not going to have fun anymore. Or maybe God's going to make you do something you don't want to do. And you're struggling and you need a moment of courage right now to surrender your life and say, God, I'm a sinner. You realize that God loves you so much that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sin. He wants to be Emmanuel. He wants to be your friend. He wants to give you a relationship with Him. And if you're here today and God's tugging on your heart saying you need to surrender your life and follow me, I'd like you just to put your hand up in the air. Just put your hand up, wave it at me this morning. Thank you. I see several hands in the back. They're in the middle. Anyone else this morning? You'd say, I want to repent of my sin, turn from my sin. I want to follow Jesus. I want to surrender His leadership. Anyone else this morning? Those who are watching online, if God's speaking to you and you need to surrender your life, just put your hand up wherever you're at. I know we can't see you, but God sees that moment of courage where you're saying, God, I want to live a different life. Just put your hand up. Anyone else here in the house, you'd say, I want this moment of courage. That's me. I want a relationship with God. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else today? I'm going to pray this prayer, and I'd like all of us to repeat this together, no one praying alone. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, save me. Be my Lord. First and every way. My life is not my own. I give it all to you. Forever. I'm your disciple. Make me bold. Make me new. Thank you for new life. I give you all of mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.